We're going to continue with the series that I started, Just Speak to Me, all right? And so I believe as I was studying, I have one more. I know I was actually going to scratch this one and go to the next one, but and praying about it, I felt like, no, I need to stay true to what God's laying on my heart. And so next week I am going to end it, but please come. I believe that God has saved the best one of these messages for last, or it spoke to me that way anyway. So come next week and we'll finish this series. But, you know, as a Christian, I know that every one of you as a Christian, you want God's will for your life, right? We all do. We want to be in His will. And so I wonder, though, how many of you have had to make a really big decision in your life, and you prayed about it? You even went and you looked in God's Word, and maybe you even sought some sort of wise counsel, and you did all these things, but yet you still feel unsure about making a decision. Anybody ever been there? I want you to know my hand is up. Yeah, I've been there. And so how many of you in those moments when you're just like, just speak to me, you know, you just want to hear God's voice. You just want to know what's God's will for your life. And so we know that God is a God that in the Bible we can see that He wrote on the walls, and sometimes to get His will across, He spoke through a donkey, you know. And so for us today, or myself especially, I'm like, come on, God, just give me a word. Send me an email from heaven, you know, like, dear Jack, quit eating gas station sushi, you know. Whatever it is you need in the moment, you know, just speak into our lives, whatever direction we need. Just help us, God, and just speak to us. And you know, we're praying about direction for our lives. And I know for me, I wonder sometimes, is that God leading me, or is that just my own thoughts? Or did God prompt me, or am I just being super emotional? Because I can get a little emotional sometimes, can't I? Or was that the Holy Spirit speaking to me? You know, sometimes we ask ourselves, you know, is that you, Lord, or is that the gas station sushi that I shouldn't have eaten, you know? Whatever it is, I'm having these feelings, you know? And so occasionally, though, I know that it's tempting when you're seeking God's will to either over-spiritualize it at times, or to even try to make a deal with God. How many of you have ever done that? You try to make a deal with God. You know, I'll tell you about one of the times that I made a deal with God. Is when we first came here. And we were moving down here, and I was trying to make a deal with God because I didn't know how our bills were going to get paid exactly. And so I remember I told God, I said, God, if you'll take care of all these bills, I can take care of the car payment. And you know what God said? He said, okay, go ahead, you know? And so as time went on, it got a little tight and tough, and I started complaining, you know, as we all do, you know, oh God, why? And started whining and complaining. And it was like the Holy Spirit reminded me of the deal we made. He said, well, I'm holding up to my end of the deal. Well, what about you, you know? And so I said, God, I shouldn't have made this deal with you. I made a bad deal. And I prayed, and I remember it was less than a week our house in Borger sold, and we were able to pay the car off, and God worked it out for me, even though I was trying to make a deal with God. And sometimes we do that, don't we? And I know that a lot of times for you and me, we just want God to speak His will to us. You know, like through a burning bush or through a sign in the sky, whatever it is, sometimes we know that God does speak to us supernaturally. You know, there's moments in the Bibles we can see that. But I can tell you this, though, all right? God's will is not always a whisper from heaven, but sometimes it's just wisdom on earth. It's just wisdom on earth. God's will is not always like an open door of blessing, but sometimes it's actually a closed door of protection. Sometimes God's will isn't this big spiritual calling, but sometimes it's just to give you practical choices. And so today, what I want to talk about is when God's will isn't clear. All right? So if you will, and if you want God's will in your life, let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father God, we come to you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're a good God and that you guide our steps. And God, this morning, I pray that you would show us your will, show us your ways, and God, help us to be faithful and to honor you in everything that we do. And God, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, so we're continuing this, and I just want to review where we've been for just a little bit. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the review, but I want us to look back to week number one. In case you weren't here, we talked about the different aspects of God's will, and let's look at those really quickly. We talked about God's sovereign will. This is God's unchangeable master plan. There's nothing you and I can do to change this or to mess it up. Okay? It's unchangeable. And so, excuse me, no one can stop it. And then we talked about God's moral will. And this is God's will for you and I and how we should live. And we know that God, his will for you and I is to be holy, right? And to be set apart. And so he reveals his moral will to us through his word. As you read, you can see the moral values that God wants you and I to be living by. We talked about God's permissive will, and this is where God loves you and I so much that he gives us a choice. We can choose to love and obey, or we can choose not to. It's our choice. He gives you this choice. But I also want you to know that sometimes in those choices, we make decisions that aren't pleasing to God, right? But even though we make bad choices, we can see that God's sovereign will still comes about because he brings all things to work for his good. Amen? And then finally, we talked about the personal will of God. And this is where God knows you and me. He created you. He loved you before you were even born. And he had good works prepared for you and me to do specifically in advance. He already has them planned and worked out. And so we talked also about, when we talked about God's personal will, was if you want to know God's will, you need to know God's heart. Good. Somebody was listening. And then last week, we talked about God's will is more of a who than a do, right? And so before God's concerned about what you do professionally, he's concerned more about who you are personally. Okay? And so he cares about your heart. He cares about your character, that you're being conformed into his image daily. And so if you want to know God's will for your future, one of the best things you can do is serve God faithfully today. Right? And so this week, what I want to do is I want to show you practically and specifically how God will sometimes guide and direct your steps into his will. And so I want us to look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament and see some of the unusual ways that God used whenever he was guiding Paul's steps towards his will. Now, if you don't know about the Apostle Paul, if you didn't grow up in church and you don't know about him, outside of Jesus, I believe that in the New Testament, Paul was one of the most Spirit-led people in the New Testament. Okay, so if you don't know his story, Paul was a person that hated Christians, and he actually went around and arrested and killed the Christians back in his time. But then we see that he was radically saved by Jesus. I mean, he's been radically saved by Jesus. Come on. So he was miraculously transformed. And so he went on to perform miracles. He preached across the Roman Empire. He set up churches all across Asia Minor. He did a great work. Paul even wrote 13 out of the 27 New Testament books. So he experienced the supernatural presence of God. But what I want to show you through his word today is that more often than not, God led Paul in ordinary moments, just in ordinary moments, in ordinary ways, much like God will lead you and I today. All right, so when we look at the Apostle Paul, we can look and we can see that he was living and seeking God, but many times when Paul was just trying to figure it out, what to do next, Anybody there? Anybody there? Yeah, just trying to figure out what to do next. God would show up and he would guide him in one of these specific ways. And so I want to show you these four ways that I've found that God had has guided Paul through these his time in life. And so there's four ways that I looked at. And one is open doors. He leads us sometimes through open doors. And then he also guided Paul through closed doors. And then sometimes it was through frustrated plans. And then sometimes it was through just everyday choices. All right? So let's look at the first one, how God led Paul through open doors. I want to give you an example in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9. This is during Paul's third missionary journey. And this is what Paul says here in the scripture. He says, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost." Okay, I want to pause for a second. Why is he going to stay? We don't know yet. But he says here, because a great door for effective work has been opened to me. Wow. Everybody say, that's good news. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, and there were many who opposed me. Say, that's bad news. So in other words, what Paul is saying here is he's like, wait a minute, God. You gave me this tremendous opportunity, an open door, and that's good news. But then, God, there's many people that are out there that are opposing me. And so why did Paul decide to stay on at Ephesus? So God didn't give him some sort of a supernatural dream. There was no prophetic word that told him to stay. There was no angelic visit, anything like that. There was just this wide open door, a wide open door for ministry. And chances are that there's some of you that have your own version of this kind of a story, right? You know, you weren't looking for that job, but one day somebody came along and they were like, hey, here's this job. And you're like, oh, wow, that fits my gifts and my talents, and I'm going to make more money, and so I'll be more of a blessing to people, and I can make a difference. And so you weren't looking for it, but God just opened up the door. Or maybe you were thinking to yourself, you were thinking, man, I would really like to make a difference in someone's life. Maybe I should serve at church. And then you come here to church and there's people like Andrea and all these other people on the teams and they're talking about all the jobs in the church and you hear one and you're like, that's me. I can do that. That fits my gifts and my talents. I can do that. And you sign up for Growth Track and you just get involved. You see, it wasn't anything that was forced on you. It was just God opening up a door. Just opening up a door of opportunity for ministry. And it's not random. It's not a coincidence. But I want you to know that those moments are God ordained. When he opens up a door for you for ministry, it's God ordained. But just because it's a great opportunity and it's God ordained, it doesn't mean that just because God opened that door doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. You see, Paul said God opened the door, but then he goes right along and he says, but there are a lot of people out there who are opposing me. So I want us to understand this morning from this principle that we can understand that an open door doesn't guarantee a smooth path. It just doesn't. And I believe that maybe God's speaking that into someone's life this morning, right now, that God does open doors. He gives us these ministry opportunities, but when he opens doors for you to serve him, you got to serve him faithfully. But you also have to understand this too. You got to be aware that that we have a spiritual enemy out there, and that spiritual enemy is going to give you pushback. He's going to start attacking you. You can mark that down, right? The bigger the opportunity that God gives you, the greater the opposition is going to be. And amen, that's right. This is where a lot of us, we get so mixed up. Because God opens up this door for us. He opens this door and you say, oh, this must be God's will. This is God's will for us. And then you walk through that door and then you find out, oh, this isn't easy. There's opposition here. There's someone that's not being nice to you or whatever it is. And you try to get something done, but everything seems to go wrong. And so you think, well, this must not be God's will for me. And you start second guessing yourself. And if that's you, and if you're here right now and you're having those second guesses, I want you to just remember that the devil, he doesn't waste time fighting those who aren't a threat to him. He just doesn't. And if you're facing opposition, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of God's will. All right? And in some cases, it's confirmation. It can be confirmation that you're right in the middle of where God wants you to be. Amen? So, how does God guide us? Sometimes it's like that supernatural writing on the wall or a voice from heaven. But then sometimes it's a clear ministry opportunity, an open door. But I want us to look at another way that God guides us. Let's look at Acts chapter 16, where this is Paul also, and this is where God actually closes a door, all right? Acts chapter 16, verse 6 says, "Next, Paul and Silas, they traveled through the areas of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit, and I want you to watch this, had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time." So the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching the word. I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? Like, we don't actually know what they're saying here. I don't know why they couldn't preach the word there. I mean, like, I don't know if they tried to get there and the road was closed, or they were sick and just didn't feel like making the journey at the time. We don't know what it was. But it could have been something that was just practical that they kind of attached a spiritual meaning to, and that the Holy Spirit didn't let them go and preach there. Okay? So let's go on to this. The next verse, this next text here, it says, "Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia." And watch this. "But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there." This is interesting to me, because what they were trying to do, they weren't being rebellious, they weren't being sinful, they weren't being selfish, you know. They were trying to preach the gospel in Asia Minor, and the Holy Spirit said, no, just no, you can't go. And so they were trying to preach the gospel again in Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit looks down and says, no, again. And it just, you know, their motives were pure. They were just wanting to minister. They weren't trying to, you know, they were just trying to do what they thought was God's will for their life. Sometimes, like you and I do, we just try to do what we feel God's will is, right? And so I just want us to see here that when God closes a door, this can show us very clearly that God's no is still direction for our lives. It's still a direction for you and I. A no can be direction. And this should be comforting to us, because for me, I know for me, I can be stubborn and hard-headed at times. You can ask Shelly, but she's not here today, so thank goodness. Not thank goodness, because she's sick. But anyways, I know sometimes that for me, myself, I want something so bad. I want to do it so bad. I think that my desires must be God's will. Anybody with me there? Yeah. But what I want, I have to understand, is not always God's will. It's sometimes my motives can be really pure. And then sometimes my motives can be fleshly and selfish. And I have to realize that just because I want it, it doesn't mean that that's what God wants for me. Right? And so I love that God loves me enough to protect me from me. How many of you out there thinking the same thing? Thank you, Lord, you protect me from myself, right? You know, he's that much of a loving father. He loves us. And I know for me as a father, I didn't always let my kids do everything they wanted to do, you know? And it's comforting to me that I have a heavenly father that will protect me from myself. And so God's will occasionally tell you no. And so let's talk about God's no's for a minute, all right? I want to tell you a little bit about the God's no's on the way to me becoming into the ministry. You see, before we were called here, I felt the calling of God on my life. And so I started trying to help out in the youth group there at my church. And they already had a youth pastor. And so I was just trying to help. And sometimes I would say, "Hey, can I do the lesson this week?" And he'd be like, "No." And so I'd get this no. And then I remember the time that he decided he was done in the youth ministry, and he stepped away, and I thought, okay. And so I went to the pastor and I said, hey, can I be the youth pastor? And I said, I really feel like God's calling me to do this. And so he said, well, you know, so he took it before the board, and the board said, well, hey, we can't afford to pay a youth pastor right now. And so it was a no. And then I remember another time whenever all of this was kind of going on, that a church over in Pampa, Texas, we lived in Borger in this town about 30-something miles away called Pampa, called, and they said, hey, we've heard about you and that you feel called to ministry. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, come talk to me. He said, I'm thinking about hiring a kids pastor. I said, okay. So, man, I drove over there and walked through the church with him, and he kind of showed me everything about it and all this stuff. And we were talking, and I could tell he was asking me pointed questions, you know. And then towards the end of it, he looks at me. He says, well, you know what? He says, let me just tell you. He says, I'm not sure being a kids pastor is God's will for you. Although I've spent the last 23 years doing that. But you know what? I got another no. But it wasn't long before Pastor Wooten called, and he said, hey, I've been praying about a kids pastor. And every time I pray, your mind comes to my name. And I just wanted to see if you might be interested. I said, yeah, I'm interested. So we came and we tried out. And I had to tell him, like I told the other guy, I've never did a kid's service before. I don't know how to do one. And Pastor Wooten, he said, well, just preach to the adults. And so I preached to the adults on a Sunday morning, and they voted me in. And so that was when I got my first yes. You know, I got my first yes, and it lasted 23 years in kids ministry, and I thank God for that. But before I got to the yes, there was plenty of no's. There's a lot of no's. And so, excuse me. So this shows me God's love and his grace, that sometimes he opens the right doors and sometimes he closes the wrong doors. And that we can learn from this principle too, that God will close the wrong doors to get you to the right place. And I believe that God did that in Pampa, Texas for me. He closed that door to get me to the right place. And somebody, I believe, here this morning needs to hear that. You need to understand that God loves you enough. He loves you so much that he's going to close the wrong doors, even the ones that you might want to go through. He's going to close those to get you to the right place and the place he wants you to be. So let's look. How did God guide the Apostle Paul? Sometimes it was through supernatural. Sometimes it was through open doors. Sometimes through closed doors. And then sometimes it's through what we're going to call frustrated plans. Anybody ever had a frustrated plan? Some of you, you know, you might be there right now, right? You might be in the middle of this right now because you thought you knew God's will for your life. You thought you knew what it was, and you just knew it was going to happen. You just knew you was going to get that job, right? I'm going to get this job. This is what God wants. But then it fell apart and you didn't get it. Or you knew that you were just going to marry this person, man, you know. But then things didn't work out. The door got shut and the plans fell apart. And you thought, well, for certain, I knew I was going to marry this person. And then you start to do like I do. You start to wonder a little bit. You start saying, well, did I miss it? Is God mad at me? Did I not have enough faith? Is there sin in my life? You know, did I do something wrong? And I start questioning myself. And if that's you, just like me, I want to say to you that maybe God's no wasn't his rejection, but maybe it was actually his protection. He was protecting you. Maybe whenever you thought that you knew the right direction for your life and God redirected it somewhere else through a frustrated plan, that he was steering you to a better yes, to that better yes. Like maybe when you were younger and you just saw that football jock and you was like, man, I want to marry that guy right there. And then years later on, you see that guy and you're like, thank you, Jesus. I didn't marry that guy, you know? And so maybe it was your protection that God was having on you. But sometimes God will frustrate your plans just simply because he has something better for us. Amen? And so I want to show you this in the Apostle Paul's life. And I love this because when you watch the Apostle Paul through his ministry, you see two common things things that I saw was two common things in his ministry. And the first one is Paul was not certain. He was not certain about a lot of things. But Paul was not nervous either. He wasn't nervous. And so over and over again, you'll see that Paul's always not sure what he's supposed to do next, but he's not battling with anxiety over it either. I want to show you a couple of verses here. It's in 1 Corinthians 16, 5 and 7, and this is what Paul says. He says, "After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia." Now watch this. He says, "Perhaps." He uses this word perhaps. That means that he's not really sure, doesn't it? He's not certain. God hasn't shown him yet. He hasn't heard any voice yet. He's just not certain. But I want you to see that he's not nervous. He says, "Perhaps I'll stay with you for a while." Maybe I will. Maybe I'll stay with you for a while. I don't know how long. It may be a week, maybe 2 weeks. I don't know because God hasn't showed me yet. And he says, "I'm not certain, but I'm not nervous," right? And then we go on to see what he says here. He says, "Perhaps I'll stay with you for a while or even spend a winter with you." Now, how many of you want your relatives doing that, right? Just kidding. All right. And he says, "Or even spend the winter with you so you can help me on my journey wherever I go." You see, because he's not sure where he's going yet. He's not certain, but he's not nervous. And let's continue. It says, "For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits." So if it's God's will, you know, so it's like if it's God's will for me to stay longer, I will, because I love you and I want to stay with you. I want to see you. It's my desire. This is something I want. I want to be there. But we also see he's not certain about it. And he's not nervous. We know this because he goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. He says this. He says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, he's not certain, but he's not nervous. He's trusting God. And you and I, we need to trust God, and he will direct our steps. You see, we don't have to know it all. We don't have to have it all figured out. I just believe that God is so good that he will direct my steps. And that's what Paul was doing. He knew God was so good that he would just direct his steps, because Paul didn't know it all. He wasn't certain, but he wasn't nervous, because he was trusting in the goodness of God. So Paul didn't have that absolute certainty to live. He didn't have to have absolute certainty to live with absolute trust. And neither do you and I. We don't have to have that absolute certainty, but we can have absolute trust in who he is. And you don't have to know the next five steps is what God's telling us. You don't have to know the next five steps to trust God with the one right in front of you. I think some of us sometimes, I think we're waiting for that whole map to be shown. Like, "Lord, just show me the whole map. I want to see it all." But we have to understand that the whole map's not coming. You know why? If God showed you the whole map, you and I, we wouldn't take the trip. We just wouldn't. It'd scare us. It'd be too much for us. And so what does God do? He gives you what you need to take the next step. Not the fifth, sixth, and seventh, but he's wanting you to take the first, second, and third step first. Here in Psalms 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So if God's word is a lamp unto my feet, that means that it's not a spotlight for the whole map. It's not a spotlight down the road. It's just a lamp unto my feet. And so he's saying to us, through my word, don't worry about steps 4, 5, and 6. My word's going to show you step 1, step 2, and step 3. And then if you'll follow me faithfully, I'll show you steps 4 and 5 and 6. And you'll be able to take your next step every day when you get up in the morning with Christ. Amen? So God doesn't need to show us the whole picture. He just needs us to trust him in our steps. So how does God guide? Sometimes it's through just an open door, like, "Wow, God, that's awesome," but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, does it? Nope. And so there might be some opposition there. And then sometimes God guides us through closed doors. Sometimes we think we have everything figured out, and he guides us through frustrated plans. And then sometimes God just gives us everyday choices. Just everyday choices. He literally will let you and I choose. He'll just let us choose. You see, God doesn't always give you that sign. Sometimes he just gives you a choice. And again, we can see this through the Apostle Paul, and as he describes how he was moving from one place to another. I'm going to give you three different examples really quick. He said in Titus 2:12, he says, I have decided to stay there for the winter. So not that the Holy Spirit told me to stay there. There wasn't a vision or a dream or God spoke audibly to me. He just said, well, I just kind of decided. I made a decision. And so he stayed. And then we can see in 1 Thessalonians 3:1 where he says, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay. So it just got to where that he just couldn't stand it. And so the best decision, the best choice was to stay. And so he did. He made a choice. And then Acts 15:36, we can see where Paul says this. He says, let's go back and see how they're doing. It wasn't any of this, like, God told me to go back and check on them, or a message in the sky, nothing supernatural. It was just a choice that God gave him, a decision that he made. And sometimes for you and I, in the personal will of God, under the sovereign will of God, God just lets us make choices. He just gives us choices. And so, like, you can literally think to yourself, God, do I move to this different city? And God will say to you, well, as long as you live for me here, you live for me there, it's your choice. So it's just an everyday choice. You want to take that job? God, should I take this job or not? It's your choice. Because, see, God is more concerned with your character than he is about the job that you're doing. And so it's your choice. And so you think, well, do I want to serve in Summit or High Octane Kids or on the welcome team or the coffee team? And God might say, you know what? Your choice. You're not going to go wrong as long as you do everything you do for the glory of God. You see? So as you're serving him and doing everything for his glory, it's your choice. And so sometimes I know we say to ourselves, we say, you know what? God, I'm going to trust you for this next step. But then all of a sudden we get this other thought that comes in and says, but what if I get it wrong? What if I totally mess this thing up? I want you to see what Paul says here in Ephesians 1:11. He says, we have received an inheritance from God. And watch this. And he makes everything work out according to his plan, his will, his sovereign, unstoppable plan. Even if you and I make a mistake and we can't make one big enough to change his sovereign, unstoppable will. Can I tell you about my God this morning? My God is so good that he'll work everything out and bring it into good for him. Whether it's through an open door, whether it's through a closed door, a frustrated plan, or maybe it's just an everyday choice, even if it's not such a wise choice, he'll take that, and through his sovereign and unstoppable will, the Bible says that he works in all things to bring about good to those of them who are called according to his purpose. Amen? Isn't God good this morning? He's all the time, God is good. Stand with me if you will. If you remember back in week one, if you were here, I started with this verse, and I want to look at it again today. It's Psalms 32:8. And if you will, let's just read this together. And I want you to make it personal, and I want you to believe this whenever you read this scripture this morning. It says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. You see, sometimes it's a supernatural writing on the wall, but most of the times, a lot of the time, it's an open door, a closed door, a frustrated plan, or even an everyday choice. And so my heart for you today as a follower of Jesus is to just take that next step. Just take the next step towards Him. Trust Him that He's a good God. That's what Paul did. And when Paul trusted Him, we can see he wasn't certain, but he wasn't nervous. And you and I can be the same today. When we take that next step, we don't have to be certain, and we don't have to be nervous. We just have to trust in the goodness of God. And God loves you and I so much that He allows all of this. He allows those things to come into our lives. Open doors, closed doors, frustrated plans. He tries to guide us in all directions. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, whatever it is God's laying on your heart, you're seeking God's will and you're saying, God, what is my next step? Trust Him. If He speaks something into your life and into your heart, an open door comes, or He closes a door, trust Him in that too. God, thank You for closing that door, keeping me from being somewhere I shouldn't be, doing something I shouldn't do. We just have to trust Him. But we also have to keep moving. You see, God wants us to become more like Him each and every day. And if we're staying still, if we're paralyzed by fear, and we're not moving forward, then we're not pleasing God. We're not becoming more like Him. So my heart today is for you to take that next step. Just move in faith, trusting that God is so good. Even if you mess up, you take the wrong step, you can't stop God's sovereign, unstoppable will. He'll turn it around and He'll turn it into good. Just have faith today. So I want to pray with you this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor, I want to take my next step, and I want to do it today. Raise your hand. Just raise your hand up, and let's just pray. And let's ask God to help us to trust Him enough that He's a good enough God that we can take a step this morning. Father, I come to You right now in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for the example that You gave us through Your word, through Paul's story. And God, how You used different methods to get him from where he was to where You wanted him to be. And God, I pray right now that You're doing that in our lives. God, You're getting us from where we are to where You want us to be. From what we look like now to looking more like You. And Father, loving people the way we love them now to loving them like You. God, whatever our next step is today, I pray right now that You would give us the boldness and the courage to just take that next step. Because God, I trust You that You are a good God, and I trust Your sovereign will that I cannot do something so dumb that messes it up. I thank You for that, Lord. I thank You for that. And so God, I pray for every person in this room that's seeking Your will, looking to grow spiritually mature, move forward in their relationship with You. Right now, God, give them the courage to take that next step. Give them that strength right now. Father, if they're uncertain, don't let them be nervous. Let them know that You're so good, they can't mess it up, because You're so powerful and Your sovereign will cannot be messed up. Father, I want to pray for those this morning that might be here this morning and they're like, I don't even have the first step, let alone what my next step is. I just want to share with you this morning, if that's you, your first step is receiving Jesus into your heart, asking Him to forgive you of your sins and to make you a new creation in Him so that you can start on your journey in this relationship with Him. And so if that's you this morning and you need Jesus in your heart, just slip your hand up if you will. Nobody's going to be looking around. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for all these hands. Hallelujah. Now, if that's you, I just want you to pray this prayer with us. And I want everybody to pray this so no one prays alone. And we're going to just repeat this prayer. We're going to ask Jesus into your heart. And if you do that and you believe it with all your heart that Jesus can save you from your sin, guess what? You'll be saved. And you'll be able to take your next step. And He's got a next step for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning. And I give You my sins. I ask You to come into my life and make me like you. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that you can lead me and guide me and make me more like you. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.